Welcome back, everybody, to the Fantasy Hockey X podcast. I'm Devin Davidson, your host. With me, as always, my co-host, Bruce Gunther, John Enns, and Tyler Holman. Happy Thanksgiving, boys. What's going on?
Happy Thanksgiving.
Football.
We interrupt this podcast for the football game.
Yeah. Hey, I'm proud of the three of you. You actually spoke before 5 or 10 seconds. That was good.
Oh, crap. Forgot. Quick edit.
I think me and John stared at each other for a good 10 seconds, but he went, so thank God for that.
Yeah. Bruce dove in there. That was good. Okay. All right. Well, hey, so this week we got hockey tomorrow, which I think we're all pretty jacked about. Preseason is done, which generally nobody cares too much about, but we're going to go over some hockey news from the past week, talk about preseason, and then we're going to get into fantasy hockey preview for week one, waiver wire pickups, and some updates. So with that, I guess we'll get into it here. Hockey news. Connor McDavid, Sidney Crosby, and Alex Pietrangelo were all named to Team Canada earlier this week. It was October 4th. I don't think any real surprises there outside of maybe.
Shocking.
Yeah, no, nothing really there to get too excited about, but I'm just excited we're going back to the Olympics. Like NHL players are going back to the Olympics.
Well, it's not official till January. What's the back out date? January 6th or something like that?
Yeah.
They've got the opportunity to back out till, so.
Just seeing McDavid and Crosby and McKinnon all on the same line, maybe even, not even the same team. That's going to be amazing. Yeah.
Scary.
They asked Connor, who's playing center on that line? He goes, not me, I'm playing wing.
can you imagine Connor, though, flying up the wing? Like,
yeah.
That'll be nuts. Like, it'll be insane.
Just pass the puck, let him roll. Yeah. Oh, I can't wait. It's going to happen. There's no way it doesn't happen. It's happening. Tyler Johnson, let's talk about him. He was given first line center and power play one duties with Kane and DeBrincat. John, we're going to dig into this a bit more because I know you've got a waiver wire pick you want to talk about, but we kind of have to talk about this. Johnson played 20:46, total time on ice, 4:49 in the power play, one goal, two shots on goal, one block, and he was 54% in the dot. So I don't think, did anyone here expect that to be the case going into preseason?
No. I figured Tyler would slot in probably on third line center, not first line center.
That's where I expected him.
Kind of figured that Taves and Doc would be ahead of him, not vice versa. But
I think that happens some point in the regular season. I think that's just what's going to ultimately end up happening is Doc will slide up there and Johnson will move down and they're going to be pretty deep at center when that happens.
For sure.
Yeah, it's a good problem to have, right? As fantasy managers, I don't think any of us expected it. A lot of people, like you, kind of looked at Doc and thought, like you said, he was going to be him at 1C or 2C at worst. And here we are with Tyler Johnson. And he's cemented there basically to start the year. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. Jonathan Toews, he recorded 3 assists and was +2. He skated 17:21 time on ice. 2 shots on goal, 1 block, and he was 69% in the dot. That's a number I'm sure the Hawks are happy to see. Glad to have him back in the faceoff circle. And just on the ice for that matter. So yeah, should be a lot of fun to watch those guys this year. And then of course, Fleury looked really good again. Was it Lucas Raymond that he absolutely robbed? Did you guys see that? Yeah, Tyler, you're nodding. Yeah. I think it was Lucas Raymond, or it could have been Robbie Fabry. I can't remember, but anyway, either way, unreal save.
Yeah, it was Robbie Fabry. That was classic Fleury.
Midseason form. Sticking with the Red Wings, Moritz Seider played 22:10 in that game, 2:59 in the power play. He had 1 goal and 1 assist. We'll talk about him a little bit later. Lucas Raymond played 18:46, 3:58 on the power play, 1 goal, 1 assist, and 5 shots on goal. Also that day, Carter Hart had a .960 save percentage and a 2-1 win over the Bruins. Jeremy Swayman had a .944 save percentage in a losing effort. Impressive performances from both young goaltenders. Carter Hart, we've been talking about him for a while now, expecting a bounce back season from him. And Jeremy Swayman, we've just kind of expected big things from him after the 10 games he showed last year. Any other thoughts there on the Bruins and the Flyers in that game, guys? Or either goaltender in general. Like, did you watch any of the highlights of those guys throughout preseason?
Nope.
That's a big nope. No. I'm actually going to get a cricket button and insert crickets.
Sorry, just talking about Swayman there. It just makes me a little concerned for my draft because I took Ullmark, so I'm kind of hoping that Swayman would suck, but
well,
doesn't look to be the case. So
and
might be looking at some definite timeshares.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's talk about our draft here for a bit because we had our first ever FHHL draft this weekend, and then a few of us are in the ESPN league as well, Tyler, the Timu Salami League. But yeah, John, I think you're right. I picked up Swayman in one of our leagues. I can't remember which one it was. He's just been too good to ignore, I think, through preseason and the 10 games he showed last year. Even if Ullmark is like, you know, Ian Gooding was talking about, just follow the money, right? And always follow the money. But I don't know, like Swayman, I think he might get 50% of the starts kind of conservatively, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, he's looked really good. Any other observations throughout our draft you guys want to talk about? I feel like it went much better this year, Bruce. You didn't snipe me at every single turn. I was so mad last season, and actually this year I felt like it went a little bit better. But Bruce, you're feeling pretty good about your team, I think, hey?
Yeah, actually both teams I feel good about this year. So, and I had plan A, plan B, and plan C all lined up just in case. So
it was okay. It all worked out. Tyler, what about you? How'd you feel about your team? I didn't get any angry messages. My team sucks or anything like that this year. So you must be feeling a little bit better.
A little bit. I think like on paper, it probably looks pretty good. But after the first couple of weeks, I'll probably be pretty upset with it. I'm kind of banking on Line A, Tarasenko, Caulfield all doing something. Pettersson and Hughes as well. And Eric Carlson to just like not suck. So, you know, I'm not super stoked on it, but I think it'll be okay.
Good. And John, what about you?
I'm just actually going over my team here again. And I was actually incorrect. I dodged a bullet on that one. I don't have Ullmark. But I do see Spencer Knight sitting down there, so I'm really hoping that he can make Bobrovsky look terrible, and I guess they don't follow the money on that one. So
I hope.
Other than that, I'm banking on some young guys and some injured guys, so my IR spots are already full.
Me too.
And I know I'm getting flack for the Malkin pickup, but
hey,
I don't know.
You know what? I swore up and down I wasn't going to touch Jack Eichel, and I took him in both drafts.
Yeah, you did.
Late. I don't know if he was my last pick, but he was right there. So, and then one of the analysts, you know, the insiders here over the weekend was saying there might be some traction on a Jack Eichel trade. So, if that does occur, he might actually make the season sometime in February or March, but we'll see. I did get Jack Hughes, which I was excited about, and Trevor Zegras was actually on our waiver wire after the Timu Salami trade, and he had a really good preseason, so I was happy to pick him up. Beyond that, I got the Barkov Huberto stack, which I was pretty psyched about.
Yeah,
I was surprised he was able to do that.
Yeah, that worked out just fine, and I got Brady Tkachuk in both drafts, so hopefully he plays.
I took Markstrom in both drafts.
I saw that. We had so many Oilers fans, Tyler. Them. Yeah. How did you do it? Them. You would have been the last person I would have expected to do that. You know
what? He's probably going to be like my top goalie too. And I hate that that's probably going to be a thing. Because they play like in the past under that coach, they play such a defensive style and they don't have enough goal scorers to outscore anybody. So they're going to have to play that way. Might not end up being wins, but should be lots of saves. And a few goals. And he had terrible numbers last year, so he should bounce back. But I don't like it.
Actually, you know what? That just since we had Mark on our last episode, right, talking about left wing lock and statistics. I'm curious now. You got me thinking about what his PK save percentage was last season, because that was Mike's big takeaway. Is that's the spot you'll see some positive regression if his numbers are down. So, and sure enough, it was at 850 last year. So you'll see that bump a little bit. And his even strike state percentage has been 915, 924, and 920 over the last three seasons. So yeah, I would say looking at the numbers and just speculatively, Jacob Markstrom is going to be pretty good this year. And that pains me as an Oilers fan, but
me too.
Just yeah, that's probably what's going
to
happen.
I tried to hold off taking goalies till late, not the full zero G, but late and pick up the scraps. Yeah, I definitely did. So,
you know what? I did the same thing. In both drafts, I faded goaltenders in our Timu Salami League. I ended up with Ilya Samsonov, Ilya Sorokin, Calvin Peterson, and Vitek Vanacek. I think that's serviceable goaltending in one league. And then in the other one,
I think I got Bobrovsky in both.
I did notice you got him in one for sure. And I chuckled just because. I don't think you're actually big on the guy.
No, but like, I mean, the team's going to be good. He has to not suck as much as he did last year, right? Right? Right?
Yep. Well, I could check the numbers for you.
I hope so. Anyways, follow the money. I'm following follow the money. Money.
As our friend Ian Gooding says, follow the money. And then in our other league, I got Igor Shesterkin in the eighth round, which was a surprise. Thatcher Demko, Calvin Peterson, and Jeremy Swayman. So John, that's where I took Swayman. And then I've got Carey Price on IR for whenever he comes back.
Right. So yep.
I'll end up dropping somebody there, but so
yeah. The one thing I couldn't believe I did is I usually fade on defensemen like crazy, and in our FHHL league, my first two picks were other than Patty Kane, I took defensemen in two of my top three. So.
Well, I think one was just to piss off Bruce, right?
I planned for him to be gone long before I was chance, so that was I was fully expecting that to happen.
You knew.
It was a partial plan.
Yeah, it wasn't the full motivation, but you knew. Well, and actually, Bruce in our Yahoo League, that's partially why I took Makar in the 11th overall, I think, right? Because the forwards I liked were all gone by 11, so I just took Makar at 11, and then I think it took Barkov at 14th or something.
That's exactly what happened to me. That's why I did that too, is I didn't like the forward group that was left for the pick. So I decided I'd go a different route this year. So see how it turns out.
I think I picked Hellebuck second overall in the Yahoo one.
Oh, did you really?
I think so.
Wow.
My original plan, I was going to do what I did in the one mock draft.
Yep.
But someone took Vasilevskiy early. I was going to go Vasilevskiy, Hellebuck, and then go after that. But Hellebuck went early. Vasilevskiy went early. So,
wow.
Well, like you and I had said, Bruce, in that league, like it's a categories league, head-to-head categories. And I think there's four or five goaltender categories, right? So
yeah,
if you're going to try and swing that strategy, that's probably the one league you'd want to try and do that in.
Yeah, because in the mock draft I did it, I took Vasilevskiy first, Hellebuck second, and then when we finished the whole mock draft, when it came down to the end, I had, in terms of rankings after the draft, I came in second overall after that, taking those two guys.
There you go.
First and second. So,
all right. Let's keep clipping along here, guys. We've got lots of hockey news to cover, and then we'll get into some waiver stuff here. But Sean Couturier. This is still from October 4th, but he played 19 minutes, had a goal and an assist, and he was 63% in the dot. He's a guy we've talked about lots. He's been undervalued, I would say, by pretty much every fantasy GM out there based on ADP and where we've seen him go in drafts. I did get him in at least one league. And I think he's going to have a good year again. So Casey Mittelstadt actually scored two goals on two shots, played 17 and a half minutes against the Blue Jackets. He pretty much looks like he's picking up where he left off. I don't know if you guys followed much of what he was doing last year closely, but there's not a lot to like in Buffalo. I'd say he's probably one of the things to like.
Him and Olofsson are about the only two things, maybe Dahlin, depending on if he can bounce back. But
yeah,
I think Mittelstadt's available everywhere still. So
Yeah, I don't know if one of you guys wants to take a look. I have no idea what his ownership is at right now, but you're probably right, Bruce. He's probably widely available.
When I did my waiver wire picks yesterday, he was single digit ownership, low single digit ownership.
Yeah, so we're jumping the gun a little bit, but that's maybe a waiver wire pick some guys want to look at, right? If you need a little bit of forward depth,
yeah,
you could probably do worse than Casey Mittelstadt. Kaprizov looked good in a 3-1 win over the Avalanche. He had a goal and two assists, one shot, one hit, two blocks, 19-20 at time on ice. Should note though, the Avs, they ice mostly an AHL lineup. And then of course, Kemper looks good. Didn't look good. He looked average. He had a 906 save percentage in the loss. So again, I don't know. I've been saying all preseason, all summer, basically, I don't like his ADP based on the return for Kemper. But
he was sitting pretty high there, and I think somebody took him like top 20 in one of our drafts.
Yeah,
that's pretty high.
Yeah, it's pretty high. Like I just there's injury concerns, and there's other goaltenders who are going to put up comparable numbers, and it's too much for me to spend. Yeah. But
by the end of November, Colorado will be on their third string goalie. Yep.
Yeah, that's crazy. All right, October 5th, Ottawa Senators head coach DJ Smith was saying he's got to prepare for the season as though Brady Tkachuk will not be available. The Senators looking for a 7 or 8 year term. Tkachuk may be seeking a short term bridge deal, something in a 2 or 3 year term. Which I've been hearing that if that's the case, they're probably just going to look to trade him, because at the end of that bridge deal, he's going to want big, big money. Like, can you realistically pay that guy more than $8.5 million a season?
Not based on his current stats, no.
Like, Leon Draisaitl makes $8.5 million. So how are you going to pay Brady Tkachuk more than that? It just doesn't make any sense.
He does a lot, but I mean, right now he's capped at like 60 points, basically. So, I mean, yeah. Maybe he's like an 80 point player at some point with a bunch of penalty minutes, but $8.5 million is a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. He could shoot the puck 500 times a year. And I still, you know, I'm not giving him $8.5 million. Like Yeah. Doesn't make a lot of sense. I'm actually confused as to why he's digging in so much on this whole thing.
Probably because
seems odd. To me.
Probably because Ottawa sucks.
That's fair.
Like, if they were going to give me $64 million, I might think about it, but I also wouldn't want to be there for 8 years. So
yeah, that's a fair point.
But
I guess we'll see. Sorry, Bruce, go ahead.
I was going to say his brother's making 7. So he should take 8 because he's making more than his brother, but his brother is an RFA next season. So
yeah. Yeah. Well, time will tell. I don't anticipate it being a situation where he's out till December. I don't think it's going to be a William Nylander type of situation.
I hope not.
I just don't see that happening, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, it's different ownership there too.
And don't they have to get to the cap floor? Isn't that the other thing to consider here? And maybe that's why he's digging in, is because they
just scraped over.
Oh, okay.
They made a signing or something today. They just scraped over the floor.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. And there's a million things that happened today, so I'm sure I missed some of it. We'll get to it a little bit here. But so if I miss something, guys, let me know. Vince Dunn had a couple goals in a game on October 5th. I don't know who they played, the Vancouver Canucks. 17-15, 5:31 on the power play, 3 shots on goal and 4 blocks. Did any of you take Vince Dunn in drafts over the weekend?
Nope.
Yeah. You did, Bruce?
I got him in one.
Okay. Yeah, he was on my list to maybe try and grab late as like a fourth, fifth, or sixth defenseman.
Yeah, that's exactly where I kind of had 3 or 4 defensemen that I had set for picking really late. And yeah, for the most part, I got most of them. So,
well, him and probably Tony D'Angelo was on your list.
Him, D'Angelo, Drysdale, and Rasmus Anderson out of Calgary.
Okay. Which we'll talk about in a little bit as one of your waiver wire pickups. Okay. Pavel Francouz was helped off the ice in Tuesday's game against Vegas. Jared Bednar later said that it was a lower body injury unrelated to his hip surgeries. Yeah, as you alluded to, Bruce, they're going to be on their third or fourth string goaltender by November. So,
yep,
not a good situation. Mikko Rantanen and Nazem Kadri both scored twice for the Avs in a 7-4 loss. Quinton Byfield left the Kings game against Arizona with an apparent injury to his left leg. It was later reported that he has a left ankle fracture and he's out indefinitely. Not good news for Kings fans or their center depth. Owen Tippett scored 2 goals on 4 shots in Florida's 3-2 preseason win over Tampa Bay. Mike Amato, who we had on the show here recently, spoke on about the potential for Tippett to emerge this year as a top 6 option in Florida. Have you guys followed that at all closely? He's one of my waiver wire pickups that we'll talk about later, but he's looked really good through preseason. Line mates are good. Lots of like there, so someone to keep an eye on. And actually, I think we were tweeting about him earlier today as well, if you guys want to see some of the numbers there. October 6th, Dominic Ducharme told reporters that Carey Price is going to be unavailable to start the season after offseason knee surgery, which then the next day, obviously we, as most people know now, Carey Price entered into the NHL's player assistance program. Bergevin told reporters that the program is a minimum of 30 days. Could be longer. The team expects him back this season, but not sure when. Any thoughts there, guys, on Carey Price? I mean, it's, I guess, first of all, good for him. He's dealing with some challenges, and he decided to deal with them, so that's always good to hear. You know, I never would have guessed. And you don't know, right? As an outsider, you have no clue, but kind of just unfortunate to see, right? I mean, hopefully all's well, and he gets back on the ice sooner than later. I guess there was then an update on Pavel Francouz. He's out 3 to 4 weeks with a lower body injury. I guess that really just helped out Kemper's value. Hey guys, like, not that it needed any help, but he's going to play a lot of games here, at least until Francouz is back.
Yeah, until his groin gives out again.
Bruce, you couldn't help yourself.
Always with the negativity over there.
What? Past 3 seasons, it's the same thing with him. He plays like 10 games and then
he's got a fragile groin. Season. What can you say?
He's got a fragile groin. It's an unfortunate situation.
It really is. It really is.
Blake Coleman was suspended for 1 preseason game and 1 regular season game for boarding during a game against the Jets.
Not sounds like he's there. Fitting into Calgary quite well.
You that's think a he is Sutter
isn't? Type play?
Oh yeah, sure. He'll fit in Sutter's system just fine.
Yeah.
Florida Panthers captain Alexander Barkov signed a maximum 8-year contract extension with an AAV of $10 million. Any thoughts there? That number seems about right for a guy like Alexander Barkov.
Probably in the next couple years, that's going to seem cheap.
Yeah. Yeah. As the cap goes up, that's a pretty good number for him. Of course, Ovechkin left Friday's game against the Philadelphia Flyers with a lower body injury. No update to report at this time. Actually, that's not true. So I guess the latest I heard was he's day-to-day. So no long-term implications there. They didn't really state anything other than lower body. Looking at the play, it looked kind of harmless. Hey, did you guys see the replay?
Mm-hmm.
Not really.
Yeah, it didn't look like a whole lot.
No. I don't know if he just kind of tweaked his ankle or his knee or what he did there, but it just didn't seem like much, and then he struggled it off.
Might have been his groin, too. Who knows?
You know, there's a chance. That still qualifies as lower body, so. Okay, we're going to move on from that. October 9th, Sidney Crosby is back at Penguins practice following wrist surgery. Good to see there. I have an update for today. He's just Gensel, Crosby, and Zach Aston-Reese were all ruled out for Tuesday's contest against Tampa Bay. My suggestion earlier was if you play DFS, go load up on a bunch of Tampa players because that Penguins lineup is going to be rough on Tuesday.
Yep.
Like real rough. As to quote Tyler, that's
bad.
That
is bad.
That's bad.
Hopefully Pittsburgh has regular season Tristan Jarry as opposed to playoffs Tristan Jarry.
Yeah.
Or fair Tampa point. Might sign him as a forward.
Oh, boy. All right. Matthew Boldy Minnesota Wild prospect is going to miss 4 to 6 weeks with a fractured left ankle. Another contract extension, Mika Zibanejad, and the Rangers agreed to an 8-year deal with an AAV of about $8.5 million. I think that's probably a reasonable number for both sides as well. What do you guys think?
As long as he's consistent, yeah, but I don't know. I've never been a big fan of his, so.
I know Deppen is.
I don't know.
I've taken Zibanejad lots of years previously, and I've said it a couple times on the show, but he was usually, though, when I could get him in the last 3, 4, or 5 rounds of the draft, not in the first or second round. And he always, like, it was just always a great value pickup because you could get him so late. But
is there any trade protection in that?
No trade protection.
So he's the centerpiece of the deal for Eichel then?
Not now.
I don't think he would have ever actually been, though. Like, I think New York's kind of the only option for him, really, for teams that are going to be able to trade for him. And Zibanejad's a really good second line center at 8.5. So.
I mean, like, cap wise, it works, right? You're sending back a big ticket for a big ticket. And yeah, I think Jack Eichel would like to go to New York. That's probably one of the teams on his list. I've heard LA. That's the other one that's cropped up lots. But again, I don't know if they can make that work, right? They just signed Deneau to that big deal too. So
and with Byfield there too, like, they're not going to trade Byfield. I think New York's the team because they have Kako, they have Krapsoff, they have Robertson,
Lafreniere.
They've got lots of guys that they can move. Strome on the last year of his deal that they're probably not going to re-sign. Buffalo's not going to get what they think they were, or what they were hoping to get for Eichel before all this happened. So I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. I think it's going to be lots of picks and prospects and a little bit of money.
Well, I think that's what Buffalo needs though, right? Because they're moving out their franchise center for futures, and that's what they need. They don't need another sort of middling center. Yeah. There's two other teams that I saw come up in a lot of insider talk was Anaheim and Calgary. Sounds like those are two teams that are still interested in Jack Eichel. And in Calgary, we see those guys involved in basically everything. Anytime there's a rumor, Calgary seems to have their nose in it. I don't know.
Yeah.
Calgary needs help.
I don't see Calgary being able to do it because you've got Monahan and Gaudreau as players you could trade, but they don't really have any grade A young prospects that Buffalo would be interested in. So, and I just don't. I don't see it. I think New York's the place.
That's fair. Okay. John, Bruce, any other takes on that? No. Maybe.
No, I think New York's going to be the place as well on that one. So, yeah, I got nothing else really to add.
Well, there's always the rumor that Vegas has been in on Eichel, right?
Yeah, Vegas could too. They do everything. So,
because they're not afraid to sell low on a player to bring someone else in. So,
yeah,
they'll dispatch Pacioretty or somebody for like a sixth round pick.
They'd probably trade Petrangelo for him. Like they don't care.
Let Petrangelo know through social media that he was traded.
Yeah,
get the Zamboni driver to give him a call.
His agent saw it on social media and texted him.
Oh man, if anyone from Vegas, like from the organization, is ever listening to this, you guys suck. I just want to get, I'm just throwing it out there. Like, just do better. You guys are the worst.
They're all business there.
Brutal. Moving on. Vincent Trocheck, currently on IR. He's expected to be ready for the Canes season opener, though, so not too much to worry about there. And then, of course, today, October 11th, as we're recording this, there was a lot of things that cropped up today. Eric Gustafson signing a 1-year contract with the Chicago Blackhawks. The D-men put up 17 goals and 60 points in 79 games with the Hawks in 2018-2019. Anything to really get up, you know, excited about for this one, guys?
I think he's really hoping to play with Patrick Kane again because I think that's where most of his points came from, playing with Kane.
Yeah, I don't make much of this, to be honest. I think he'll be a depth defenseman and he might get some power play time. With Seth Jones there now, I just don't see why. You know, like he'll get secondary power play time, I think, because basically we're looking at and third pairing minutes. That's my take. Tampa Bay head coach John Cooper signed a 3-year contract extension. No surprise there, given how the team's performed. Auston Matthews, we found out today, is not going to play this week, according to Leafs head coach Sheldon Keefe. If I were a Leafs fan, that'd be real unfortunate.
Or my fantasy team.
Or do you have Matthews, Bruce?
In Yahoo, I took him, yeah. So I got to find a replacement center for a week. So,
well, it's, it can't sounds wait till like we a short-term.
The waiver wire right? section of the podcast.
Yes. We got lots to talk about there, so we'll get to that shortly here. Mark Giordano was named captain, first captain in Seattle Kraken history. I guess not really a surprise, but I wondered if they would have gone in another direction, just given his age, and he's on the end of his contract, last season of his contract. I just wasn't convinced he was going to re-sign there, so the decision to make him captain was a bit of a head-scratcher for me.
Yeah, I kind of figured he was going to be trade bait. So, yeah. But pretty hard to do that if you make him captain.
Yeah.
Unless they're taking the Vegas approach to this and trade him.
It's just name him captain to increase his value before they trade him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Build him up Savage. And then punt him out the door.
It's like NHL 21 rock. Be a GM.
Oh, God. Be a GM. Yeah, you're gone. Okay, what else happened? Alex Barboulet was claimed off waivers by the Kraken. Good prospect from Tampa Bay. He showed some offensive capability in Tampa. Although I guess it wouldn't be hard to show in Tampa Bay. There's a lot of talent there to play with. So we'll see what he does. He was picked up today, just to mention that.
Seattle needs some warm bodies. Oh, look, the next line in the news.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll talk about that here quickly. Jared McCann, Jamie Oleksiak, Jonas Donskoy, Kalle Yarncroke, and Marcus Johansson are all on the COVID-19 protocol list one day before the season opener.
So basically line two and line three are in COVID protocol. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, hopefully that doesn't turn into a situation like we saw last year where they're out for a couple weeks as a team, but pretty rough way to start out your inaugural season.
They weren't sure of all the details because Seattle is one of the teams that the teams were 100% vaccinated. So they don't know if they actually had it or if they're just close contacts to somebody that did. But
right,
they're hoping it won't be for long.
Came down. Okay, so news today, guys. I just saw Evander Kane is now a non-roster player pending investigation results. He is currently under investigation for attempting to falsify his COVID-19 vaccination status and domestic abuse allegations from his wife.
What a douchebag.
So the Evander Kane saga just continues.
Just run away.
He just shows he's a terrible human being at this point, and there's really nothing he won't do. So does he play again this year, do you think? Like,
who cares?
From a fantasy perspective. Like, but, you know, like, I don't see it. The team doesn't want him there. Who's ever going to trade for this guy? Based on his contract and the things that he's done. Mm-hmm.
Send him back to Buffalo for Eichel. Oops, won't go there.
Oh, pretty rough anyway. So
Arizona? They'll take just about anybody these days.
That is true, Bruce. Yeah, Arizona would take just about anybody.
I think.
And the other Caps.
I think they need to find a way to void his contract and send him to Russia or something.
And just have him never play that again.
Somebody will sign. Like, it'll happen.
Yeah.
But
well, if they do show that he did falsify his COVID card, he can pretty much kiss his contract goodbye because that's
that's true.
Yeah,
that's grounds for terminating his contract, from what I understand.
Yeah, I was reading in The Athletic, and they said they're gonna, if that is the case, if they can prove that he falsified his vaccine records, they're gonna come down hard on him. They're gonna make an example of him, basically. So. And rightfully so at this point. Okay, so that's it for the news here this week, guys. I'm excited to actually get back into regular season play and have some hockey to talk about coming up this week, so that should be fun. I just want to mention again, so the Fantasy Hockey Hacks podcast is a proud partner of NHLShop.ca. For all your officially licensed NHL merchandise, follow the links in our show notes or on our website. From jerseys and hats to socks, clocks, and more, NHLShop.ca is the best source for NHL apparel and merchandise. Visit the store today and see current promotions and offers. Terms and conditions apply. Full disclosure, Fantasy Hockey Hacks may receive a small commission for your purchase, which helps us to continue providing original content. Next up, guys, I'm calling this segment Edge Work because we are going to work to give you the edge in your fantasy leagues.
Classic.
And so...
How do you say that with a straight face?
I tried really hard.
Oh,
man.
I like it. I like it.
And of course, it's a play on edge work. Oh, right? No, so was, there you go. Yeah, Tom, no, you like good. That. You appreciate that. Good. Thank you. Okay, so here's our first take on edge work. NHL schedule week one. So we're going to start with number of games played. I've got this here in the show notes, guys. Teams with three games this week: Chicago, Dallas, Montreal, New York, Ottawa, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Tampa Bay, Toronto, and Vancouver. Two teams of note: Toronto and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay faces Pittsburgh, who has no Crosby, no Malkin, no Gensel, and no chance to win. Tampa's also facing Detroit and Washington, who has no Backstrom and possibly no Ovechkin. So, as I mentioned earlier, take a look at Tampa Bay for DFS purposes, or if you can grab some guys from Tampa off the wire, even if it's someone who's on the third line, it'll probably return some value this week for you. Then Toronto is going to face the Habs, who have no Carey Price, and they also play Ottawa twice, possibly without Brady Tkachuk. So those are two teams, Toronto, Tampa Bay, I'd take a close look at if you're looking at waiver wire pickups. The fact that they both play three games this week is also a bonus. There's probably some waiver wire ads you want to look at there, but those are two that I wanted to mention quickly. Teams with two games: Anaheim, Arizona, Buffalo, Carolina, Columbus, Colorado, Detroit, Edmonton, Florida, LA, Minnesota, Nashville, New York, the Islanders, Vegas Golden Knights, Winnipeg, and Washington. Two teams of note here: Vegas and Winnipeg. Vegas takes on the newly formed Seattle Kraken, which, Bruce, you just mentioned is missing most of their lineup, potentially. And the retooled LA Kings, both are favorable matchups for Vegas. And then Winnipeg faces Anaheim and San Jose. And I don't think I need to elaborate much more on that. So if you can grab some players from Vegas or Winnipeg this week off your wire, I would recommend doing so. And then there's just a small handful of teams here with one game this week: Boston, Calgary, New Jersey, Philadelphia, San Jose, and St. Louis. Any other thoughts on the NHL schedule, guys? Nope. Okay. Insert crickets and moving on. Edgework part two. NHL week one waiver wire targets. So this is where we're going to get into the stuff that people probably are interested in hearing about. I guess just quickly, just what we're calling a target is players with ownership of approximately 50% or less. First up, Owen Tippett. We had mentioned earlier in the show, he's only rostered in 4% of Yahoo teams or Yahoo leagues. He's got two games this week, Pittsburgh and the Islanders, and he is currently locked in on line two with Bennett and Huberdeau. His preseason was fantastic. He had 7 points, 4 goals in 6 games. In one game against Tampa, he had 2 goals in a fighting major. He's currently undrafted in fantasy drafts for the most part. But he's got potential in the top six in Florida. He's put up shots on goal, PIMs, so he's covering some categories as well. That top six in Florida is going to be about as good as anybody, hey guys.
Top Absolutely. Six, top nine is going to be really good.
Yeah. Yeah. So I really like Owen Tippett for this year. I did pick him up in one or two of our leagues. One for sure I did. I think the one I had Bennett in. So, I think he'll do well this year. He's going to stick. I mean, there's no reason not to give him that top six time because the other alternative is to put Anthony Duclair there. And, Tippett, I think, is more the future player that you want on your right wing in the top six. So that's one I've got there. John, Bruce, let's go to you next. Give me a waiver wire pick for next week.
So my first pick was Matt Zuccarello. So he's currently playing first line and first power play with Kaprizov and Erickson Ek, sorry. Ownership in Yahoo is 17%, which if you looked at his numbers from last year, when Zuccarello was healthy and playing with Kaprizov, he was almost at a point per game.
Yeah.
So it's, I just kind of find it surprising he's only 17% drafted based on that, so. And they're saying Erickson Ek should be having a career year play next to Kaprizov. So Zuccarello is just going to go along for the ride.
Yep. I'm surprised they're not giving Fiala crack there, hey? Like, it's...
I think they want to spread it out a bit more. I think that's why Fiala's on another line.
Yep. That makes sense. And like you said, Zuccarello, if he's been playing at a point per game, why not put him there, I guess?
Exactly.
Okay, and they've got two games this week, looks like, hey, Bruce?
I think so, yes.
Yeah, Carolina, both away games at Carolina and Florida. So yeah, keep an eye out for Zuccarello. John, who you got?
My waiver pick, I'd be looking at Jesse Puljujärvi. Yahoo ownership was sitting around 42%. Two games for this week, Vancouver, Calgary. But he's probably going to be sitting on that number one line with McDavid and Hyman. There's no way you can go wrong with that. He had a fantastic preseason, scoring six points in five games, four goals. So he's definitely a good pickup there. There's no way you're going to go wrong there.
And two, it actually, like, Dave Tippett's been messing around with that top six, hey? Tyler, it looks like he's been playing Draisaitl and McDavid together more often than we expected through preseason. So even better news if you're Puljujärvi, you're going to play with the two best players in the league right now at even strength and potentially a bit on the power play too.
Yeah, and he doesn't look out of place either. He looks like more of a driver this year than last year. He looked complimentary last year. This year, it looks like he's actually driving plays. So,
yeah. What's your projection for Puljujärvi? Like, do you think, is he going to, before preseason, I kind of had him like pegged at 25 goals, 50 points as like maybe his ceiling. But I don't know. The way he's been playing, like, could he do better?
I think he could. 25 is still a really, really good year for any, sure for is, any, yeah. Secondary player on a team, but he could push 30. A lot of that's probably going to be power play when Hyman's not there. But you've seen even he scored a couple of like a slap shot from above the circles, like goals that he was scoring over in Europe. He's able to do it here now. So yeah. I don't know. He could score a lot.
And it was a heavy shot too. Yeah. Right? Like, you saw the play. Like,
I think that happens when you're like 6'10", whatever he is. A freak. Absolute freak.
Yeah, just the kid's chiseled out of stone and 6'5" or 6'6".
Tongue hanging out when he's taking the slap shot too.
just the nicest guy, hey? Did you see him give that stick to that kid the other
day
too?
He's the best. He's the best.
He's the best. We love Puljujärvi. He's FHH.
He is. We should get him a sticker.
You know what the funny thing is? He'd probably actually take a picture with it and send it to us. Like,
he'd have the stupidest smile too. He'd be so happy, ear to ear.
It'd be so great.
Yeah. Oh man. Okay, we got to talk about the Bison quickly.
I've been to Elk Island, and I wasn't that happy when I went there. So good for him. I was actually scared when I see when you're walking down the trails, the Bison are actually like right there. They're just like walking around with you. It's terrifying. They're huge.
Just chilling.
And he was like super excited. He was just happy to be there.
He was, what do you say? He was a nice bison or something, nice bison. Or a gentle bison.
He's great.
Jesse, never change. We love you. Keep it up. all right, Tyler, do you have some waiver wire picks for us?
I got one. Victor Arvidsson. He's going to be playing on the first line with Kopitar and Dustin Brown, which is Dustin Brown part of it's probably not that exciting, but he should have a bounce back year. He had a terrible year last year.
Sure he did.
And Arvidsson can play. So he's barely rostered. I think it was like 7% when I had a look. So he'd be a good pickup.
Yeah, I like Victor Arvidsson a lot for this year. I think playing with Kopitar is going to do well. He scored how many goals? It was 34 in 2018, 2019. And I don't think that team offensively is that much better than what he's going to see in LA.
Yeah, and in a division that's on the weaker side too. So,
yeah. He was on pace for 41 points last year. His shooting percentage was 6.6%, which is way below his 3-year average of 12.5. So he's due for some regression that way. Good to see, actually, his shots on goal per game was back up to 3. The year previous, in 2019-2020, he was at 2.2. So some positive things there. And he actually had less power play time last year. So there's lots of room for improvement based on what we saw last year. His 5-on-5 shooting percentage is 7.9%, which, as I had mentioned earlier in the show, it should be closer to 9%. So there's some room for improvement there too. Like there's lots of things you look at Arvidsson and go, yeah, he should have a bounce back season.
Everything you just said, plus the ability to play more and be in more situations this year too, is going to be a big difference. So,
yeah. Yeah. I like Arvidsson for sure. Good pickup there. Another one I would talk about here quickly. We already talked about Tyler Johnson. So he is one of my pickups this week, I think. You should look at it. He's got center right wing eligibility. Ownership's at 20%. He plays 3 games, Colorado, New Jersey, and Pittsburgh. Just that lineup placement with DeBrincat and Kane. If he sticks there even just for the week, he's probably going to pick up a handful of points. I think he had 2 points in 3 games through preseason. But yeah, he's gonna be someone worth taking a look at. His PDO, it was at 994 last year, so there's room for positive regression there again. 5-on-5 shooting percentage was at 7.9%. His shooting percentage last season was below his 3-year average and career averages as well. So looking at the numbers, underlying numbers, there's some things that are like about Tyler Johnson as well beyond lineup placement. So I'd take a look at him. John?
I wanted to bring up Kirby Dach. Yahoo ownership sitting at around 35%. Like you said, with Chicago, they got 3 games coming up this week. A little bit disappointing with his lineup placement, I will say. With that whole Tyler Johnson situation, I thought Dach was going to be the bigger man in there, but it doesn't look like it at the moment. I do see him going up the pecking order there as the season progresses. He should still get some power play time as well. Just hopefully he can work his way onto that PP1.
Yeah, it's too bad. Like we said earlier, I think Kirby Dach, that should be his spot up on the top line or on the second line, but they could be easing him back in too, right? Like just they're sheltering him probably a bit, I think, to start the year. He's coming off kind of a nasty wrist injury. He didn't get many games in last season. So maybe just give him a chance to get his feet wet. And then, like you said, they end up reversing roles here, even if it's halfway through the season.
Yeah, so, no, for sure. From what I saw from him in preseason, I think he looked good. So,
okay.
So that was good to see.
Good stuff. Bruce, what else you got for us?
Pick ahead for defense is Rasmus Anderson from Calgary. With Giordano now moving on to Seattle. Rasmus is now basically the power play one quarterback for Calgary. In his last preseason game here, he had an assist on all 3 of the Calgary goals. At 13% ownership, he's pretty much all but forgotten, but you need a defenseman that can put up probably a fair amount of points. He should be a good pickup for you.
Yeah, I'd agree with that one too. He was kind of in a similar situation last year, right? Like you said, but with Giordano gone, it's going to make a big difference this year. They don't really have anyone else to fall back on.
No.
Maybe Noah Hanifin, but...
Maybe.
He hasn't generally been a power play guy, right?
No, not really. He hasn't.
Okay. Tyler, do you have anything else for us, defensemen or goaltenders?
Well, I actually had on my list here at Jared McCann, and then the whole COVID thing kind of threw that out the window. I also had
still a good pick,
yeah,
though.
I also had Jake Allen on there, too. His ownership has gone up ever since we drafted. So that's not really any kind of a sleeper pick. William Eklund, if you're in a keeper league, would be somebody to look at. Looks like he's going to stick with San Jose, and he looks like he's ready to play too. So,
and he should get lots of opportunity in San Jose. There's not a ton to like there, right? Yep. So, that's actually got me thinking. I don't believe I have it on my list in writing here, but Lucas Raymond, I want to talk about him because he's looked really good in preseason for Detroit. And then it actually, I put out a tweet earlier today. He was on the top line with Dylan Larkin and Tyler Bertuzzi. And that appears to be the first line they're going to roll with for the season opener. And how many games do they have this week? They've got two games, well, Tampa and Vancouver. So I'd be really interested to see how a guy like Lucas Raymond could do. I think he's only like 7% owned in Yahoo. He might be one of those. And actually, I think in terms of betting odds, he was somewhere around 5th or 6th. I think he was plus 1,200 or plus 1,500 for Calder Trophy odds. So, you know, the betting community has some faith in him. Blashill loves him. I think he's going to give him basically every opportunity he can to put up points. And to play with a guy like Dylan Larkin, you're bound to, right? So that's a guy I keep an eye on as well. And to Mort Sider, right? He's another guy that's just in terms of like rookies and guys that could be a good Calder Trophy candidate. He's going to play with Nick Leddy in the second pair. He should get some time in the second power play unit. Basically, all of his teammates have had glowing reviews about him. And I think his odds for the Calder are plus 1,200. So keep an eye on Mort Sider this year. Should be interesting to watch. And actually, now that we're still talking about defenseman, Noah Dobson. Bruce, do you have a take on Dobson?
I'm a Dobson fan, so he pretty much through the regular season last year, he was the power play quarterback for the Islanders. He didn't kind of sit on the shelf and during playoff run, but they're giving him another chance to run the power play again this year. So be another person where some possible, I don't know if he's going to score a ton of points in the Island there, but he's basically going to be on power play one with Leddy being gone and Pulak not really doing too much either on the power play. So they're going to give the kid a chance. So
yeah, I picked him up in one league just because I needed a sixth defenseman. And I think as a sixth defenseman on the Islanders and giving a chance to be the power play one quarterback, probably worth a shot. He's only 16% owned. So I'm going to take a chance on him. I mean, will it pan out for sure? Who knows? But I think it's worth the risk anyway.
For sure.
So if you need some defenseman depth in your lineup for next week, take a look at him. He's got two games, Carolina and Florida. We'd mentioned Trevor Zegras earlier. He's got center left wing eligibility. His ownership's at 50%, so he just kind of squeaks into our list here. But he's got top line placement with Max Comtois and Ricard Raquel. That power play in Anaheim is absolutely horrendous. But Zegras had a really good preseason.
Nowhere to go but up.
Yep. Lots of potential, right?
Absolutely.
This one, okay, you guys probably think I'm nuts, but I've got Braden Holtby here as
you're nuts.
As a goaltender waiver wire pickup. He's only 14% owned. He's got three games this week, or Dallas has three games this week, New York, Boston, and Ottawa. He actually had the best preseason of all the goaltenders in Dallas. He had a, what was it, 938 save percentage and a 1.71 goals against average. Jake Oettinger and Anton Khudobin both were at around 905, 908, somewhere in that range. The coach in Dallas had lots of good things to say about Holtby. Loved how he played the puck. Said he was calm. Said he looked confident. I know they always have to say good things about their players in press conferences, but it's like, well, he actually did look really good in preseason. So I'm kind of curious. Like, they brought him in as a free agent for a reason, right? Do you guys think there's any chance he plays more than a tandem or even a tandem this season?
Based on their, just took a quick look at Dallas's lineup for game one. They kept all three goalies. They kept Tobin, they kept Holtby and Oettinger up at the big club. So it's going to be a three-headed disaster there.
Interesting. Okay.
So I don't know. Because I had it open as one of my waiver wire picks, but now that Oettinger's there, all bets are off.
Yeah, actually, you know, Bruce, and I was looking at it too and going, well, if you were really in dire straits in terms of goaltending, like, you could maybe just try and pick up that tandem of Khudobin and Holtby, and then at least you've got two starters from Dallas, right? But now if Oettinger's there, I actually didn't know that. So that's that makes that whole pick probably not recommended, but...
the hilarious thing right now, if you look at the Yahoo rostered right now, Ottinger is highest at 36%. Ben Bishop, who's on long-term injured reserve, is at 29%. And then it opens at 25 and Holtby's at 15. So tells you what people think about Dallas's goaltending.
I think people just aren't really aware of the Bishop situation, and he just kind of got some name value there, and that's why he's drafted so high. And Ottinger makes sense because people are betting on him being the starter by halfway through the season. But okay.
There is a couple of people that think that Anton Hudobin will be an Oiler by the end of the season. So
yeah, we talked about that, and Tyler goes, yeah, the Oilers are in on every goaltender.
Yeah. I think Mikko, since we're talking about that, I think Mikko has a bounce back year. And maybe it's just because of that press conference that he had where he looked like he was gonna cry, and it's just,
and Jim Matheson told him nobody wanted
him there. And then he told everybody he was lonely, and then I felt bad for him, and maybe he can.
Well, his preseason numbers were good.
They were, actually. They were really good.
They're really good.
There was a couple games where the Oilers just played like shit in front of him and left people open everywhere. And yep. You could tell how frustrated he was by that, but he stopped everything else. So I don't know.
So
he's prepping for the regular season.
Yeah, pretty much. Typical Oilers.
I'll throw out some numbers here for Koskinen, actually. So he had a .933 save percentage and a 2.12 goals against average, 0.52 goals saved above average. High danger save percentage is .833. That was in 4 games played. So really, really solid preseason there for Mikko Koskinen. Again, we don't get too excited about it, but that's a positive sign for him going into the regular season. Mike Smith only played 2 games, but he had a .965 save percentage, 1.33 goals against average, and a 2.13 goals saved above average. And his high danger save percentage was .923. So Mike Smith, old man Mike Smith, was downright ridiculous in 2 preseason games. I don't know. Everyone keeps saying he's not going to do what he did last year, and odds are he won't. But I mean, based on where you could get Mike Smith in your drafts, I'd say it was probably worth the gamble.
Yeah. Wasn't he ranked pretty high in our
bounces back?
In our league.
Yeah, I think he was ranked like up there, like second or third round or something. I don't know. I think somebody auto drafted might have taken him, but I just don't think he's gonna do what he did last year. Everything was perfect. Short season, old guy, less travel. I just don't think that he can do it again. And Edmonton needs Koskinen to bounce back like that. And I think he could too, because the year before, he actually had decent numbers. Last year they were awful, but should be somewhere to bounce back there.
Well, I'm not totally sure, but I think the number between the two of them last season was like a .908 save percentage or .9. Like they were actually basically league average, right? Like league average is somewhere around .908 or .905, somewhere in there, right? And I think they were a bit better than that. They're something like 16th, right? So the goaltending, I think, was fine. It was serviceable, right? It's just the question has been, has the defense gotten any better in Edmonton?
Yeah.
And
CC,
it's gonna be an adventure.
CC sucks so much. He's gonna be the new guy. Like when what's his name signed that 4-year $4 million contract, everybody was mad about it, and everybody just talked about him. And now CC's that new guy. Now that Russell's on his 1.25 contract or whatever he is for 1 year, and CC just looks lost. He just looks like he's all over the place. And then you put him with Keith. Oh, it's terrifying. It's terrifying. It's terrifying. So hopefully Nurse and Barry and Bouchard play a ton.
Yeah. And I think they'll generally be able to outscore their problems, but
they're going to have to.
Yeah.
By mid season, Keith and CC will be the third pair doing like 9 minutes, and Cuckoo and Bouchard will be the second pair playing 20 minutes a game.
Yep. Yeah, I could see it.
Well, and Tyler, you took Bouchard in our one draft. I can't remember you took him, but
it was late. It was like, I think like the 18th round or something. It was late. Because the D kept on going right before I was going to pick. And I just had to pick somebody. So I picked him, hoping that he would slide up into the top four, which I think he's going to, because he's had a really good preseason.
He will.
Yeah.
Oh, he's looked great.
Yeah. And I just had to, slide him in there because I have him and Drysdale as my last two defensemen. And that's pretty bad. In a 10 person league, that's pretty bad.
It's not great.
No.
But you know what? It could pay off. I mean, especially Bouchard. I think, how many goals does that guy have to score before they just give him a regular shift on the top two pairs? Like, I just don't.
I think he's going to be one of those demons that score like 15 or 20 just because he gets everything through.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of that. That's a skill that not a lot of people talk about, but he's able to do it.
Yeah. And like makes it look easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it. Just going back to Smith here quickly. In ESPN, he was drafted 47th overall. And actually, Taylor took him.
Yeah, he did too.
47th overall. He's 94.6% rostered in ESPN. If I switch over to Yahoo, his ADP was 132, and he's 81% rostered. So ESPN is a bit higher on him than Yahoo is. 132, that's kind of more in the range I was hoping I could snag Mike Smith at, like pre-draft sort of thing, but it just didn't obviously occur. So there it is, for what it's worth. Okay. I think we've gone through all of our picks here, just making sure we didn't miss anything. John, you've got Bowen Byram here as a...
I do actually have Bowen Byram in there.
Okay, well, so we're talking about D. Let's talk about D a little bit.
Yes. I really liked what I saw from him in preseason. There is a lot of competition in that Colorado defense lineup. I will say that. But he's really set himself apart. 3 points in the four games. He was a plus one. Last year, he was a minus four, I think, in four games with no points. So this year, he's definitely warmed up to the NHL level. And I see that continuing, and I'm excited for him. He's a fantastic player. So the only problem there with Colorado is that there is just so much defensive depth. But I think he'll get his shot there.
Yeah, he's a blue chip prospect, and he is playing on that second pairing with who's he lined up with?
Is that Johnson?
I want to say it was Eric Johnson too, but let's just take a quick look here. I'm going to Daily Faceoff.
You can put crickets in here too.
I could, yeah. I'll probably just edit those crickets or the silence out. Bowen Byram's lined up with Eric Johnson in the second pairing. And looks like he's getting some second power play time too with Sammy Girard as his D partner there. But like with Girard, Makar, Eric Johnson, now they got Ryan Murray. And like Ryan Murray and Jack Johnson is their third pairing in Colorado.
Wow.
That's pretty serviceable, I'd say.
Yeah, no
kidding. It's better than CeCe and Keith.
I knew that was coming.
Oilers fans can just never do that.
Nope.
Man. Okay. Did I miss anything else here, guys, that we should talk about?
In terms of waiver pickups? I had Kasperi Kapanen in there as well, just with all the injuries going on in Pittsburgh. He's going to get the opportunities, and it's looking like line one with Rodriguez and Zucker. So, he's looked really good as well in preseason. I think his ownership's sitting pretty low at that 19-20%. So, exciting things going on there.
Yeah, and actually, a couple weeks ago, Mike Sullivan he was quoted as saying he's got elite level talent, Kasperi Kapanen.
Yep.
And he said, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure he gets there. So the coach likes him. He's going to give him lots of opportunity. Yeah, that's a good waiver I pick up, John, for sure. One more I had here actually is Cam Atkinson. He's only 49% owned. He's going to line up on line two with Derek Brassard and Joel Farabee. Joel Farabee actually is another one. I don't know what his ownership percentage is at, but those two on that line I think should do really well. We had Mike Lachlan on from Left Wing Lock. Like I said, last week he talked about Cam Atkinson as a bounce back candidate. Chris Wassel, who we had again on a few weeks ago, was high on him as well, thinking that he could reach 30 goals this season. Looking at his numbers too, his shooting percentage was 9.5% versus 11.3 on his career and on his 3-year average. He shot 2.8 shots on goal last season versus 3.3 as his 3-year average. His PDO was 967 and his 5-on-5 shooting percentage was 7%. So lots of indicators to suggest that his numbers are going to regress next season. Excuse me. And playing in Philadelphia with some elite level talent, I think he'll bounce back in a good way. So keep an eye out for him. He's only got one game this week versus Vancouver, so it might not be the right week to nag him or to snag him, but someone to keep an eye on, I guess. Okay. With that, guys, if there's nothing else, about that time to wrap up the show. Just a couple notes really quickly. We want to mention we have a contest, a giveaway coming up. I'm not going to mention much more than that. We're still working out the details here. Keep an eye out. We're going to put a post out there. If you're not following us on Twitter or on Instagram, give us a follow. On Twitter, it's at FHHacks. On Instagram, it's at FantasyHockeyHacks. We will put something out probably later this week. We'll talk about some of the contest rules and the giveaways and stuff like that. But it's a good one. We'll mention our sponsor later in the week as well. If you guys have any questions or comments about the show, please send us an email, fantasyhockeyhacks@gmail.com. Keep an eye on the website, fantasyhockeyhacks.com, for more information on waiver wire pickups and fantasy hockey news throughout the season. One other thing I haven't brought up in probably the entire time we've been doing this, we do appreciate reviews. We've had a few people leave reviews. If you enjoy what we're doing here on the show, if you enjoy the information, please leave a review at Apple Podcasts. It helps us with our rankings and to get our podcast out there. So we'd really appreciate that if you take some time and leave a review or a comment. Anything else, guys, you want to mention before we sign off? Insert crickets now.
You have that cricket button worn out by the end of this.
I'm going to break that pitch, yeah. All right, boys. It was a lot of fun, as always. Thank you, and we'll be back next week with another one.
Good night.
Have a good one, everyone.
All right. Take care.